and welcome to the next episode of the Beach Court Podcast. We got the full crew back this week. Parker is done driving cross country and joined us for the episode. So thank you for being here, Parker. We got a packed episode. This seems like kind of like an off, like down week where we don't have a lot to talk about, but we found a lot to talk about. We're going to bring you our updates on the World Championships data analysis. I spent the weekend doing some deep diving and trying to analyze the top 125 for North America, so I'll bring you all of my results. We'll talk about the Scarlet and Violet series ending with Black Bolt and White Flare. It's mostly rumored, but, you know, partially confirmed at this point that we're going to get Mega Evolutions in September with a, you know, new kind of set name at the bottom. We'll give you some updates on Destined Rivals. We got the pre-releases this weekend for the new set. I'm excited to get my hands on some Team Rocket's cards and bring them to locals. Of course, we'll have our trivia segment where I'll try to stump the boys this weekend. And lastly, we've got four events this weekend. Utrecht, Santiago, Melbourne, and Thailand. All events happening across the world. So we'll bring you some small predictions that we have for those tournaments and, you know, give you some updates on where the meta's going. My name's Eric Ridgway. Parker Greenwald and Max Horkren are joining us. Boys, how has your week been?
So I know you guys hate this answer, but what did I do this weekend?
You're not allowed to say it. Anyways,
I worked.
I'm gonna go while Parker thinks about it. But I didn't really have a great weekend either. Really, I was like just like trying to get over being sick. I like scraped my way to locals, you know, like lost round two, like clawed my way back to 3-1. And then the guy at the last round was like, you want an ID? And I was like, nah, I'm going to play it out. And I was just like, and I just like felt like my symptoms coming back from my cold medicine wearing off. I was like, you know, I'm just going to go home and I'll take the ID. And hopefully I don't bubble out. And I didn't. So,
bro, this sounds like round eight of you in Milwaukee.
Oh, womp womp.
Literally the same exact thing, bro.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, let's see. How many times? To be fair, I've been like sick at like regionals too much or after regionals too much. It's just been like rough. I still remember like San Antonio like 2 years ago where I like clawed my way back from like 1-2-1 all the way to 6-2-1. And like by the end of day one, couldn't even talk. I'm just like writing things on my notepad and like tapping my cards because I like literally couldn't even speak.
Are you gonna start wearing a mask or something? Because
I'm probably gonna do that. I'm gonna get the full like, yeah, you know, get the full locked in mode.
You can get like the mask that you would do at high elevation. You know, like look super cool with it.
Just get like a Bane mask.
I like to
like chat with people and like see people.
Yeah,
I don't want to like hide in the thing, but If I keep getting sick, I have to do something. But Yeah, just the locals on Thursday. No Pokemon this past weekend, but I'm excited to hit some pre-releases. Now we're talking about a little bit later, but Nakama's got a midnight pre-release, so I always look forward to those. Getting a chance to, you know, get the cards at literally the first moment, just because it's fun and cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, open some packs, hopefully get some big hits. But anyways, Parker, what'd you do this weekend?
This weekend, I really, truly didn't do much, but I played Pokemon on Wednesday and Thursday. I got smoked by Eric on Wednesday, but still managed to finish second with the Gardevoir. And then Thursday, I played Gardevoir again, and I ended up going 3-1-1. One of my old friends started playing again.
Our game was like the weirdest game ever.
It was weird. I didn't get like a vaults on the field for like three turns or something. It was crazy. I was like, Monkey Dory, Screamtail Pass.
Yeah. But like, I was so scared to like go super fast because my board wasn't like overly developed. I was playing Raging Bolt, but I didn't have the baby Raging Bolt attack. So I was like very nervous to like kind of keep going. And like, he attached a Monkey Dory and I couldn't kill the Monkey Dory, so I can only kill the Screamtail. And I just didn't want to KO the Screamtail because I know I'm just going to get confused right back. So I was a little nervous and just kind of played it slow and ended up losing. But it was good. Good game.
Yeah. I drew with a friend, an old friend that started playing again. He's pretty good. He's played card games since he was in the middle school.
Awesome.
But managed to pop it, your stuff as well. I thought I'd like bubble out Because, like, I crawled back. I lost the first round. And
Well, I think the junior beat the other person, right?
I did,
Or
yeah.
the
We had a
senior.
senior playing, and she beat an X1 at
Yeah.
full orb, and because of that, there was a clean cut. No one bothered out, but somehow I was fifth after three
You're goaded
standings.
like
I
that,
don't know
Parker.
how. Hell yeah, I will. I was like, oh, this guy left, and like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean that senior is pretty good. She came to the cup on Saturday that I judged, and I watched some of her games. She's playing pretty good.
Yeah,
So
no, it was
yeah, she's pretty good. So I judged my first cup this weekend. That was a lot of fun.
nice.
A nice small cup, but I got another one on the agenda this coming weekend, assuming that the baby doesn't come this week. But we will see how that goes. And I'm excited to judge another League Cup, get some judging experience under my belt so that I can come judge a couple of regionals next year, as I kind of take the full competitive season off next year. Well, first year of newborn can't really travel that much, but
And
let's
just
get
go
into
play in
some.
one event and win it.
Yeah, that's I mean, honestly, I'm probably gonna play in one and judge one. So like that's like and I'm probably gonna try to play NAIC. That's my goal. So we'll see.
Nice.
Let's jump into our topics here. First up on the agenda today is the news about the Scarlet and Violet. It's been out for a little bit. It's kind of been known, but it's been circling around Twitter today and this weekend. That Scarlet and Violet is over, basically, like with Black Bolt and White Flare. And I don't know about you guys, but like Scarlet and Violet to me is very special because I kind of just came back at like Sword and Shield base. And that was like where it all started. And then we got the rest of Scarlet and Violet that came out with the base set of Scarlet and Violet with all the good trainer cards and all the busted cards that
With
we got.
Maridon EX.
Yeah, Maridon. Yeah, I mean so many good cards. But just kind of got me thinking that what do you think the best Sword and Shield like the Scarlet and Violet card ever was?
A Scarlet and Violet card.
Yeah, like what was the best Scarlet and Violet trainer card?
Trainer card.
The trainer card.
Yeah, not Pokemon card. We
Yeah, when
can't
we're
do
talking
that.
Pokemon, I mean, like, obviously you got, like, the big bads, like the Dragapults, the Charizard EX, and the Gardevoir, like, conversation about, or Iron Hands. Oh, there's a whole bunch of good stuff. Which
Yeah.
trainer am I going to miss the most? I mean,
I'm damn sure.
probably, I mean, like, Iono, I think, being just, a return of an Iono type card to the game, I think was, like, really, really good. And again, the culmination of, like, you had N, that was maybe a little bit, like, let too little interaction. You had Marnie that was maybe a little bit too disruptive early, and Iona being kind of like a neat middle ground of something you play around, but then an early game consistency and a late game disruption, just making it a very, very powerful card. So, you can't really go wrong with Iona. But also, like, we got all of our ace specs in Scarlet and
Yeah,
Violet,
that's what I
return of
was gonna
ace
say,
specs,
right?
right? I
Like
mean,
that's what I was gonna say.
things like Prime Catcher, like, oh, you missed Guzma, have a Guzma on an item, right? And especially, I think,
Woohoo.
like, in a future where I think, like, G block is going to rotate and we won't see a Boss's Orders reprint. Things like, I
It's
mean,
all
the
gonna be
only
Prime Catcher for a whole year.
like Prime Catcher and hey,
Counter.
you got Lysia's appeal.
Yeah, that's true.
We have Boss's Orders at home. We
Wait,
got
did
a
we have the
Rocket
my
Guzma.
boss fit? The boss fit
No,
is it?
that
That
rotates and
rotates. Oh, that
that's
rotates
Scarlet
too.
Violet base.
So that
I'm
rotates. The
surprised you
Weavile
knew about that card.
rotates. Our
Thank you. Thank you, Parker.
even Iron Bundle rotates in G
Dang.
block. Countercatcher rotates. It's literally just like Lysia's appeal. Oh, is oh
Wait,
wait, oh,
does
you get the
Countercatcher rotate? I
yeah,
don't
it's
think
G
G
block.
block.
It's
It's
G
G block.
block.
It is.
Yo, the and we got the Ladian, like evolve it from hand, gust one of your
Oh,
opponents
guys,
with
they went
90
90
HP or
or
less.
less. Yeah.
Play it with Scoop Up Cyclone.
What? What is this
It's
play?
just Prime Catcher, but more steps. All right.
Anyways, Parker, what do you think the best Scarlet Velvet training card ever was?
I mean, it probably is Prime Catcher.
Yeah.
And just gusting is just how you win games. You just, like, a lot of games in some formats came down to just three attacks.
Yeah.
So, like, finding one attack on the right guy and still playing a supporter is, like, pretty good.
I mean,
Yeah.
I think the Prime Catchers are like obviously like one of the best. But for me, the standout card of the whole like kind of block is Arvin. Arvin was just like that card that like people really didn't understand when it first came out. And then like Arvinzard came out, and then everyone put Arvin in literally every deck that they could. Like it was in Gardevoir, you know, it was in all the good decks. Like, oh, I can just find an item and a tool, and that tool can always be Forest Steelstone while it's in format. Like it was so good for so long. Like Iona's definitely strong and it still is strong, but Arvin only got worse because of Bedu. I think if Bedu wasn't around, Arvin would still be very good.
Well, I think the problem still is like Forest Seal Stone being like such a huge
Yeah,
part of it, though.
back.
It's like if Forest Seal Stone doesn't exist, like does Arvin see the play? But it
Yeah,
does.
I don't know the answer to that. That's a good question.
Yeah, a
But how
lot
many
of
times did
decks.
your opponent go, Arvin for Rare Candy Forest Seal Stone, Rare Candy
Exactly.
Pidgeot, Forest Seal Stone for Charizard, quick search for Rare Candy, Rare Candy.
Well, because your supporter just became like, get any card you want plus an item.
Plus a third card because you're usually setting up Pidgeot with that.
Right, exactly, yeah, so.
Which was just crazy. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, some cool cards. Let us know in the comments what you think the best Scarlet and Violet cards were. But next up, before we move on to our data analysis for the World Championships this year, you know, we've got some Mega Pokemon, you know, that were kind of announced a little bit at Worlds. When do you think we'll start to get some of those more announcements about the Mega Pokemon? Do you think we'll see some announcements at NAIC? Like, will it be all until Worlds that we will find out some of those Megas? When do you think we'll start seeing those like Mega Pokemon and like all their kind of, you know, effects that are
Their
going to happen in the game?
well, I don't know. I mean, they really only got what one set of them? Is that right? Like
One set of what?
of
Like, oh, how?
Megas.
Well, I mean, they've only announced, I think, what, Gardevoir and Lucario, I think.
Yeah, I think that's it.
I'm curious when like Japan
Well,
Nationals is like that. Like, you know, we might see like a
well,
release around then.
that's a week after NAIC, Japan
Ooh, well,
Nationals.
they announced Mega Gengar, and then there was one other. I think it was Mega Niancie. Like those are like announced cards that they haven't shown, but like, I don't know. I think it's just one set. If Black Bolt and White Flare is going to be like the last Scarlet Violet set, unless they're going to carry the Megas into like the new game, which actually they just might.
Well, yeah, the Megas aren't even going to be in Black Bolt and White Flare. They're going to be after.
Oh, is okay. So they are just after.
It's after,
Yeah.
Oh,
You got to get a little bit of life out of like the new Legends game. But I mean,
okay.
I'd say, I mean, I almost wonder if they do like a mini, like, can you do a mini block of cards? Can you do like a mini Scarlet Violet? I mean, right, if they're doing like a full new Mega set, if they're going to do like, hey, we're going to do like three or four Mega sets, and then
Yeah.
I don't know, like, when what's the next
I mean,
main
I
series
think you
games
made a
coming
really
out?
good point that like it's probably going to be Japan Nationals where we're going to get most of those cards
Yeah. Probably, I
revealed.
mean, that's like the next time someone do like a big like
Yeah.
hype reveal.
Yeah.
Because they don't really do those at NAIC. I would love to see them happen in Western events more, and this will make a good opportunity to try to have a few of them. But they generally don't do that
Yeah, it's only a week,
otherwise.
right? Give us some of them. Give us a couple to be hyped about.
Give us one. I mean, give us
Give
like
us like one, even just one.
give us Mega Audino reprint. That's all we want at NAIC. Mega Audino, it can win worlds. We're not gonna have it for worlds. It'll win worlds in 26. You heard it here first.
You heard it here first. Yeah, I don't know. I'm excited for some of these megas, but like, what's your opinion on the three prize mechanic coming back? I mean, there was a time in the game when like three prizes was like toxic. Like
They're
ADP
on
was like
basics.
toxic. But yeah, there's like you said to your point, Parker, they're putting it like on stage ones and stage twos.
Yeah.
And not just have we seen a basic win yet? I don't think
What for
so.
the Megas? Well, the
Yeah.
Diancie, but it'll. I don't know.
I mean, assuming there has to be basic Megas at this point, basic three
Yeah.
prizes because of like, I mean, unless they don't print any Megas that are basics,
Yeah, I
but
mean,
that
that's
seems
weird that
so
you have some
unlikely.
that would evolve. I mean, I guess it's not weird when you have that mechanic now where like you evolve into some two prizers from a one prizer. That'd be interesting going from a one prizer to a three prizer, though.
Well, I mean, that's what Lucario does. Mega Lucario does,
Yeah, I
right? Like,
know. I mean, but like, I think it's more interesting if all of them are like that versus like a split.
yeah, I mean, like the Mega Kangaskhans, like the Mega Pinsers, just to name a few, like Mega
Yeah.
Mewtwo, right? Like, there's got to be Mega Mewtwo,
Yeah.
right? Because
Yeah.
you just gotta cash in on the fan value, right? But then,
Right.
like, but then, what do you actually do with these cards since you don't have like a base? Like, you can't do a regular
Mewtwo and then evolve into Mega Mewtwo when you've already set the precedent that like Omega Lucario is a stage one and Mega Gardevoir is a stage two. So it'll be a little interesting to see.
Oh.
I think it's all about like how powerful these truly are. Now again, if you had like a basic three prizer that was like still 240 HP, then like maybe that's workable as long as it's not like super broken.
Yeah.
Type of thing. I 'cause it's all kind of like relative like the power level of like in the game itself in a way.
Yeah, because
So
I'm
I'm not sure
curious how
yourself.
games are going to go. If it's going to be like 3-3, or if it's going to be like 1-3 and then find a two prizer somewhere, or at least try to. Or I guess you're probably like your goal in that format is probably going to be trying to force a seven prize game, like as much as
I'm hating
possible.
birds.
Yeah, eight prize game, right? Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of excited for it. It's scary. They got to do it right, right? And they got to make sure that it works well with all the two prizers that we have, right? You got Raging Bolts just taking down two, three prizers, all weekend. That wouldn't be very fun for anyone.
Raging Bolt's to save your Megas. You're scared of Megas? Just play Raging
When the
Bolt.
raging bull.
If you want to learn how to play it, listen to Christian LaBella's interview on our last episode.
Yes, sir. Anyways, any other thoughts on Scarlet and Violet or Megas or three prize Pokemon?
I kind of zoned out just to like look to make sure it was Mega Niancie that they announced. It was,
It was
yeah, so I guess it is gonna be a basic, I'm gonna guess. So
scary.
hopefully they don't give an altered creation or something. But
Has altered creation trade and gouging and the gouging, wait, frenzy
one's
gouging,
gouging. Frenzy
gotcha,
gouging.
and
And free
trading Nova.
retreat. That'd be insane. Yeah, and free retreat. And it can't be gusted. It's got the ability where it can't be kind of like
Yeah, it's
gusted.
got Delta or Omega Berry.
It has an Infernal Rain, but just when you play it from hand. So, or
Oh.
from the deck. You want a Nest Ball for it? Yeah, sure, you can Infernal Rain, no big deal. Actually, it's just once per turn. You can just accelerate three energy out of the deck in any way you like when it's in play.
Yeah, and you can use as many of them as you want per turn, so you can just like nest ball four of them and
Yeah, it only takes one energy to attack. Super fair and balanced, for sure.
That's the future we need.
It's fun. I've been like enjoying the Jake Gearhart tweets this week, where he's been kind of like theorying some interesting, game design crafts. The last one I saw was where like there's a stadium that if you and your opponent both have the same ability in play, that ability is like nullified.
Yeah, if you're the same Pokemon and play, I thought it was a cool one.
So like, he's got some cool thoughts there. I maybe one day Jake will work for Pokemon and we'll get some cool game design.
Your opponent's playing like Shaymin, and you play like, a slow King Kyurem deck. So you play down your own Shaymin in the stadium to go and shut off their Shaymin. Or you're like,
That's
oh, they have
funny.
Fez. I gotta get my own Fez into play to turn off your
Yeah,
Fez.
I mean, like,
Oh,
Fez is like,
you could use your Fez and then play the
you need to
stadium.
play the stadium. Right? Use your Fez, then play the stadium. Like, Fez is a cool, like, that's a really cool one, interaction. But let's dive into some data. Hey everyone, my name is Eric Ridgway. I'm the host of the Beach Court Podcast. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. And if you're enjoying it, please take a moment to like, comment, and subscribe on this video on YouTube. It'd really help out the podcast a lot. We've got more episodes, highlights, and more coming your way. Thanks for listening. And now back to the show. I'm gonna start sharing my screen for these. Oh, and by the way, big announcement. I completely forgot about this. All of our Spotify users, we love you. Maddox loves you. Parker loves you. I love you. You can now see all of our beautiful face and love us. We have a video now on Spotify, as of last week's episode with Christian Albella's interview, and we will now have it going forward. So hope you guys enjoyed that. Leave some comments over there. Let us know how it's going. And we're going to be start sharing our screen now and talk about some data for the World Championships. I did not have time to go through a lot of regions, so I was only able to dig into the North American Regional Championships. As it relates to the championship data. So I'll start off with just kind of like what my data set was. And that's kind of the first question here that I'm answering. So the data set that I chose was the, I've been using Seagrove TCG's Top X website that monitors like the top 125 players, and it does everyone, but the top 125 players as it relates to their regional finishes, because you kind of assumed that everyone going for Worlds is going to just max out their locals and that everyone gets 260. However, I did some digging, and that's what this data kind of like unveils a little bit, is like how many people actually do have 260 championship points for their locals, and what does that 125 number look like? You know, what's it going into? So that was the data set I used. I think it came out to be like 294 players, because I wasn't able to find a couple. A couple aren't eligible to compete for the World Championships. So it came out to be like 294 or something like that. And the three charts you see here on the screen, I did remove all of our auto invites. Inside the top 300, there was 15 players that have auto invites, and 13, really? Yeah, and 13 of them are in the top 125. So that's our regional winners, Parker. It's some people from top four last year, a couple seniors that aged up.
Okay.
So it ended up there's 13 players that are currently in the Pokemon leaderboard top 125 that have an auto invite. So that means that right as of right now, we had a couple more events still. They'll, you know, top 125 on the leaderboard will go down to 138. So that's pretty cool. You know, it's extended a little bit. Maybe we can get like 15, 20, 30 more winners and I'll somehow qualify with not going to NSE. Maybe, like, who knows?
There we go.
Whoa.
Well, I mean, if you just look at like any of the events we have left, right? I mean, Portland, if the winner there is from North America, that brings us to 14. And then if we include, you know, hopefully, if all of top four of NAIC is from North America, and we get four more spots there.
Yep. And then someone wins Melbourne.
But the problem is that Henry Chow, when he wins NAIC, is just going to be lost zoning another invite. So not sure what we can do there. But
we'll see what happens. So I'm going to kind of like go through the data, how I grouped it, and I'll at some point post all this on Twitter for you guys to see. But, you know, this data will be here. And the reason why I'm really doing this is because I intend to co-stream NAIC while everyone's in New Orleans. And I hope to have a live leaderboard for you after round six. So round six and on, I hope to be able to bring you a live leaderboard. So to do that, I needed to kind of like dig in and get your locals data. So this is as of May 12th, 2025 is what this data is. And I kind of categorize people in this 300. So the categories I chose was the top 50 players, the next 50 players. So that's 100 players. And then you've got 100 through 125, 126 through 200. And those are kind of like the two groups that are really like in the thick of it, right? Like they're in the thick of it. They're hunting. And then I've got a group called like the chasers. And that's like a 200 to 300 group. Now, there is a lot of players. As I was digging through this data, I mean, I can't even see the number here. 1, 2, 3, 4. I mean, I don't know, 25 players-ish. There's 25 players that are on the leaderboard for Pokemon that are inside the top 300, but they're not inside of Seagrove's top 300. So what does that mean? That means if they get some really good finishes at like Portland and NAIC, they can easily jump into the conversation, because it just means that their CP is not really there right now, but they've got their locals, right? And so locals are, you know, 260 points is a big chunk of points. And you'll see it once we get to the 125 line. There's some local disparity there. And like some people, if they can finish some cups and finish some challenges, they can jump up like 10 spots. It's really close at that line. So as we go across the into the chart here, the next column is the average number of best finish limits. So of course everyone has five best finish limits for regionals and majors and ICs that they can get. So this says what their average is inside of that group. So the top 50, no surprise, they've all met their best finish limit, and it gradually goes down a little bit as you kind of get towards the chasers. So again, what does that mean? There's a group.
They finish NAIC.
Yeah, there's a group of people that are in that chasers group that are in this last group that still have an open finish available to them. And you can kind of see their average overall CP in this right column. you know, and we were doing this earlier with Maddox. If you cash at any IC, that's 150 points, right? You know, so if someone with 475 points cashes for 150, you know, they're back in the conversation immediately, right? So, and then, so that's the average numbers of best finish limit. And the next column, the next two columns is their locals data and their CP data for the majors. So, you'll see even across all these groups, the bulk of people that are closer to 260, like average, are these people that are in the middle that are like in the thick of it, right? Their average is the highest. There was even like, what was the number, Max? I showed you earlier. It was like three or four people that had zero CP that are inside the top 125.
That and zero locals points.
Yeah, zero local points. So like, there was someone that was like, I think it was Keaton Gill that we looked at, Maddox, that was like,
all right, no.
They've got like almost 500 championship points and no locals. Right? And like, so like they could easily jump up.
They had two double cup weekends and they're chilling. No.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, maybe unless these cups are easier right now. So you gotta finish your locals. That, you know, that was the tweet I said last week and it kind of popped off a little bit. Gotta finish your locals. The locals are so important. I mean, even this group of chasers down here, you look at them, I mean, they've got room to do in this locals. You would think that the chasers would have their locals done, and those are the ones they're going to, like, just need that CP finish. Like, no, they're the ones that they need the CP finish and locals. But if they have a good May, they can get there, right? We still got four more weeks, right? So we got a lot of data left, a lot of CP out there, especially at NAIC. You know, as we look over in the last column on this first chart, the CP average for the top 50 is crazy. Like,
yeah,
they're averaging over 1,000 across the group of 50 players. We see 741 is the average in the second group. 668 is the average in the third group. So that's that number, right? That's everyone's looking for what the number is. That average and that group that's at the bottom, that's kind of like on the cut line, they're at 668. So, I mean, I think, and I'll get into my next question here in a few seconds, I think the number's going to end over 650 for sure, like almost guaranteed. And if you want to be safe, which is kind of like this one of the third questions here, you need to be like in 750. If you're not 750, you're not safe. Like, it's going to be a grind. Because Portland, you know, it's only eight rounds. It's a little bit easier to make day two and make a deeper run. You know, so if you're still looking to go, I think registration is still open, right? So sign up and go.
And if only we had a travel agent code to plug right.
I know, right?
Yeah, for real.
You use code FLYBEACHCARD to get $50 off your...
Yeah. Okay, so before I jump into the next chart, I'll kind of go through my next question here. You know, the what we're trying to figure out is, where is top 125? Where's the line and what's the gap look like? So removing the 13 players that are in top 125, Alex Hamilton is the player that's sitting at 125 with 625 championship points. And there is five people right behind them at 126 tied with 620 championship points. Like, they're 5 points behind. That's mind-boggling, right? That's like a difference between a challenge third place and a challenge win, right? And three of these players that are in this group of five, they still have 20 local points left to finish. And if they got those 20 points, it would put them up to like 115. Like, that's where we are right now on the leaderboard and how close this is. And you've got to finish your locals. So if you're listening to this podcast on your way to a cup this weekend, thank you for listening to this podcast. Play the best deck. Play what you know. Play what you're comfortable with. And just, like, grind it and take it down, man. Lock in. This is the fun time of year when these type of, you know, these conversations happen, you know. I have my story from, you know, 3 years ago. Max, you have your story from the SPU that we went to. Parker, you qualified at NAIC that year. I mean, We know what the grind means, so we know what you're going through. I'm gonna stop ranting for a second and let you guys. You got any questions about what I went through already? Or
No,
any?
I think you laid it out pretty good.
Yeah, I think a lot of times, it's easy to kind of give say like, oh, local points are local points. You just go and knock them out. Still a lot of room left on the table for local points. It's kind of surprising to see. No, not a lot, but still some. And I think, like, especially on the margins, it's going to be like noticeable, right? If you're in the top 50, right, the Kieran Farrows of the world, right? Like, you probably don't need your local points maxed. Like, you're just doing fine enough on like major regional championship points. But again, anyone in that, like, honestly, even in that, like, 90 to like 200 range, just do what you can to like knock out those last local points before the month is up. Especially when you're really close. Like, I think it's one of those things where, like, in my mind, it's like, okay, hey, if you need a big finish at a major, then you want to put all of the stock there, and say, hey, I did everything I could. I'm just gonna do as best I can for the major, and then let that speak for it. You don't want to have to go and make, a good run. You go and make a top 128 at NAIC type of thing, and then you lose by, 10 because, you never replaced that cup finish, or, you lose by 15 because you only had three challenge. You skipped a challenge because you don't like challenges, right? I mean, like, it's like a take care first things first. And again, we go to locals not to grind the locals because, oh, I gotta go grind locals. But it's like, okay, I'm trying to play good Pokemon. I mean, enjoy playing Pokemon. And if you're grinding, then you treat these as practice, right? Hey, I'm gonna go win my last League Cup, and I'll prepare me for NAIC. And if you have to keep grinding League Cups, then it means you're getting some good competitive practice in the high pressure situations. So when you're on, you're winning in to day two, or you're winning in for your invite, then you've had some of that practice to lock in. It's rare to be in a spot where you have to, like, where you play one game of Pokemon for your invite, but it happens. And just, and again, it's not always about, whether, how that game in particular goes, but it's just like, playing the best Pokemon you can at the moment, and, being prepared for that, because that's really what the season
Yeah.
comes down to.
Yeah, it's just about putting yourself in those good spots. Like you said, putting yourself in those pressure spots over and over. So as we dig into the locals data here, I did want to like kind of group these out by category, but the chart just got really crazy big. Maybe I'll put something together this week if I have more time and make it nice and pretty. Kind of like you're talking about, like those lower people at the bottom, how many people of those are maxed? That's some good data that people might want to know. But I didn't have time to group it for that. So just looking at the overall grouping here of the 279 players, again, that's removing all the people that have auto invites. You got 69 players that are maxed at 260 local points. You've got 128 players that average about 242. So that's like, I put them in like a really close group, right? They just need like one more cup win, whatever, right? And then you got a group of 82 players that are in, they're in that data set that I did that have less than 200 championship points for their locals. So they've got some work to do. I mean, all this means is that there's going to be a movement, right? I mean, locals happen every week. And this time of year, Barker, we went through trying to schedule our cups locally, right? This weekend, I think, in Jacksonville, we've got what, three cups this weekend? I think there's like three cups this weekend or something. So, I mean, they're everywhere. If you're looking for them, they're there. Come on out, have a good time. So for my last chart, this is just the championship data for just the majors. This is kind of like that Seagrove data, kind of like, grouped. So, in the top 40, that means there's 10, 10 auto invites in the top 50. Their average CP 760. And you see where people's average CP kind of goes, as it goes down. The number one piece that I found when looking in the data is that across your five best finish limit for your majors, you need to have minimum 400 CP, because that gets you kind of that 660 number if you finished your locals. But you probably want to be at like 450, to put you at that, 710 number. It'll feel like, somewhat safe. But it's a grind out here. And that kind of like leads me into the seven, the safe target that we talked about earlier. And I just kind of based this on the 50 to 100 group. It seems like 750 is like the super safe special one, which is crazy because I think like early in the season, I was trying to find their episode and dig back. I just didn't have enough time, but I think our number was somewhere around like 650, 600, 650. was our like early predictions, but you know, top 125 was really elite. You know, previous years, I mean, what was world's attendance last year, Maddox? Like 2000, something like that.
I mean, just wait, just in the Masters division?
Yeah, just in the Masters division. It was high.
Oh, no, I mean, it wasn't that much. It was over 1,000, but.
Okay. I mean, but this world's.
Let's see.
This world's might be under 1,000 Masters.
Yeah, 1147.
Yeah, 1147. So you're looking at like under 1,000 Masters probably this year. So probably a 25% decrease compared to previous seasons. I mean, I think the 125 number where it's going to end based on my analysis is like between 660 and 700. That's like going to be the line. And it could even be like 663 because someone got a first place at a challenge and someone else didn't. So it's going to be interesting. Yeah, and the last piece I wanted to call out is that out of the 294 players that I did kind of like look at, 224 of them have their best finish limit met. So that means that like 75% of them have met their best finish limit. And we likely won't see many changes in Portland because it's kind of hard to improve on a finish at Portland. But with top 64 at NEIC being 150 championship points, we could see a major shift in these leaderboards. And, you know, I'm happy to hopefully break this down for you guys live on my stream as I'm trying to do this for NEIC. So stay tuned and I'll have some more information come out. But I'll definitely post this graphic at some point. Here in the next week. So yeah, hope you guys enjoyed this. Let me know in the comments below what you think about the World Championships data analysis for 2025, and put some hard work into it and try to bring you as much as I could.
Love the deep dive. Love seeing more and more data. I think the fact that like even of the players in like top 300, where not even a fourth of them have their locals maxed. And that's just kind of a wild stat on its own type of thing. At the top end, I get it. But like everyone else who's like really grinding, at both extremes, I kind of get it. You know, if you're 280 and maybe you had a good finish, but you're not really going for it. If you're at the top level, you're like, I know I'm set. I don't need to push for them. But that middle level, I think it's like the group that's like really trying to push for it. But it's going to come down to, can they get it done? And can they show up big at these last couple events?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really excited to see where it goes. All right, let's move on. We got trivia up next, but before we do, we have to thank a brand new sponsor of the podcast. Max, yeah, please tell us all about it.
Of course, yeah. I mean, we've been enjoying FCBC Sleeps for a while. We've been giving them out to some of the boys on the pod. I've been using them since February. We've been using them at all those regionals. We're happy that FCBC is an official sponsor, a supporter of the Beachcore podcast. So again, we'll be rocking these sleeves from here on out. If you're trying to pick up your own, we have a link available in the description. But honestly, we just love these sleeves and, we want to make sure we're getting them to you all soon. We'll be doing some giveaways, things like that at some point. And be repping them ourselves at events, major events and the like. And most of my decks are honestly in FCBCs now, so I'm in good shape.
Yeah, I'm really excited to rock the Blood Reds, man. Red's my favorite color by far.
What is it? Have y'all seen the 5K that's coming up that FCBC's hosting, like up in
Ohio? Yeah, they've been like slowly announcing like players. That roster's stacked.
Yeah, I mean, we got like Hedrick who's already gone, Cal Connor. I think there's a bunch of folks going. And it's like
we Jesse Parker and Chicky Jim are gonna host it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's all like the local Ohio folks there too. And it's like, when you start hearing the roster in like 5K and I'm doing the math. I'm like, okay, like a flight up there is like 300. I'm like, could I like stay with someone? Like, could this be profitable? Cause I mean, like, I think they're paying out like top 16. So like, it sounds like some pretty good pricing. So I might try to make it, but honestly, even just like, as I'm preparing for the World Championships, like it's not awesome that you get to play against like players of such high caliber all the time. So even just like an opportunity for that, like might just be a good enough reason to go on its own.
It's
so,
the week before NEIC, is that right?
The week after.
A week after. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, from Worlds. Okay. Got it.
But I mean, the other stack tournament, right? There's the, there's the new, I think something crypto backed product where there's already like a very stacked like roster that's been announced for a tournament like the week,
crazy,
like 2 days before NEIC. So
yeah,
not sure when that's going to happen or how it's going to happen, but like again, more opportunity to see like high level Pokemon being played just like for the love of the game. Like that's always a win in my book.
Yeah. It's going nuts. All right, well, let's jump into trivia. We got Destiny Rivals pre-releases this weekend, so you know what that means this week. Got your favorite question coming back to you. All right.
Well,
I have a little bit of a wrinkle on it.
Okay.
A little bit of a wrinkle on it. So pay attention to how I word this, because I'm not going to repeat myself.
I'm not going to repeat myself.
How many trainers Pokemon EXs are there in the prospective set list, according to Justin Basil, within one?
Trainers Pokemon EXs?
Trainers Pokemon EXs. Okay, this is
There's five trainers, right?
Well, so there's Arvin. You got like a Mabostiff.
Yeah.
You got Marnie and the Grimmsnarl. Ethan's Ho-Oh. Cynthia's Garchomp. Team Rocket's being considered trainers Pokemon here, Eric.
I cannot confirm or deny that.
So it's a type owner's Pokemon. Like Team Rocket is not an individual trainer, yet it is a group of Pokemon. It is a
trainers plural.
Trainers.
Rocket's Mewtwo.
Oh man, they remembered Arvin's Mabostiff. Let me give him a hard time.
Yes, I'm including Team Rockets.
Okay. So yeah, Persian and Mewtwo.
Yeah. What was the last guy?
That's five of them, all right? Right?
Oh, I guess it was five.
I'm glad
wait,
you know.
Wait, no,
five,
wait. Misty, there's Misty though. Does she have an EX?
I think that's
a
Gyarados.
Is there a Starmie or something? I know she has.
I don't think so. There's got to be one though, right? Or maybe not. Why would they give Misty no EX?
Does the Steven count too?
Oh,
was counting,
Steven. Good call.
Was Steven's
Metagross.
The decks though, right?
Steven's
Are they
Metagross.
Actually in the set?
Yes. Steven's Metagross is in the set.
Okay.
So we're like seven now. I don't think there's a Marnie's Pokemon, right? Seems like it's a single prize. Like Gyarados is your main like attacker, from my understanding.
Right. The Misty deck, yeah.
Yeah.
There's not a Lapras or Starmie or something.
I don't think so. That would make sense though.
It would have it make sense.
Misty's Togepi EX.
Or Tentacool or something, yeah. Togepi.
Togepi EX.
I guess Clefairy was a thing, so I guess Togepi.
Togepi EX, when you play it from your hand to your bench, search your deck for a supporter card, put it in your hand.
Holy.
That sounds like a good card, though. And what's Tapu Lele's attack? It has that, too. So.
Yeah, and energy press.
So I think it puts us at seven. Is there anything else for Arvin? I mean, I think it's Mabostiff. I don't really remember it. I know it's bad. Whatever it is.
Let's just go with that because I truthfully don't remember.
We said Arvin, Ethan, Cynthia, Steven, Marnie. And then Team Rocket. And then Misty is the question mark. Like, is there anything Misty? It could just be those seven. Seven trainers, seven Pokemon, but one of them has two. Team Rockets have two.
And then
is there some bad one. Team Rockets other, like Bulk EX or something?
Scissor or something? I don't know.
I don't think so.
Bird Sale.
I'm good with seven if you are.
Yeah. Let's do it. Seven.
All right, we'll lock in seven.
Locking it in, seven?
Yeah. There's definitely not a Pokemon we missed.
The correct answer is not seven. The correct answer is not six.
But it's
the
eight.
Correct answer is also not eight. The correct answer is 11.
There's
no
not
way.
11 Pokemon.
There are six Team Rockets Pokemon.
EX?
X's?
Team Rockets Persian EX. Moltres EX. I counted Persian twice, so it's actually 10. Sorry.
Oh, the Moltres.
Moltres EX, Crobat EX, and Nidoking.
Oh,
EX.
Crobat.
Dude,
about
I thought Crobat
the number was 10,
Crobat.
Not 11. Sorry, 10.
Now the Crobat EX.
Oh, my. Oh, yeah. I thought it was just Crobat EX. I thought that'd be ridiculous. Okay.
Yeah, so better luck next time, boys. You didn't get there this time.
And what do
any
they do?
Any idea how many regular EXs there are outside of that?
Well, I'm looking now, and I would have had no clue on half of these.
There's an Arbaleva, a Rabska, a Satitan,
Yanmega,
Thundoza, Yanmega, Electivire, and Regirock. So for those of you keeping track at home, that was 17 total EXs in this set.
Did you get the Electivire?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
There's a Regirock.
There's a Regirock EX. Better luck next time, boys.
And this Nido King don't do
anything. Wait, there's only 17 EXs?
Yeah, dude. I was actually looking. I was like, wow, it's kind of low.
Yeah.
Also, we're not getting the Psyduck, which is very sad. Cry.
Dang, how much the Hardy Switch player Paradise Resorts?
Well, I'm just like curious how that's going to change our meta, right? Because like right now, Charizard's like going crazy in Japan.
But without, I think it's just good.
With Dusknoir still in format, like.
I think it just like makes everything that's good now just like better. Because like Gardevoir, like, I mean, like, it's just Gardevoir and Dragapult, really, I think. Like,
yeah. I don't know. It's interesting. We'll see.
I can see people playing Charizard because it's being played in Japan, but like it's not the same format, so it shouldn't really be. But maybe people will play it anyways, even though people are still playing Dusknoir. I don't know.
I mean, people are playing Charizard because like you could play, you know, the bench barrier and the what do you call it barrier, the Dusknoir barrier. So
yeah, the Dragapult Charizard did win, played both Shaymin and the Psyduck.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to Destiny Rivals. We got the pre-releases this weekend. We did get some information about the promos. We've got Ethan's Typhlosion, Misty's Gyarados, not an EX, Team Rocket's Tyranitar, and Team Rocket's Mimikyu. These promos look kind of fun. I feel bad for you if you open the Mimikyu set, because, like, that sounds horrible.
Well, it's like, Mimikyu is probably, like, one of the best cards
but you're not
going to
use it in pre-release.
It's completely useless in the pre-release. No, I mean at least it's a free retreat pivot. That's all you get.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder, wait a minute, what if they give us Terras in the kits?
No. What EX are they putting in every single kit?
Actually,
hey,
right.
Everyone gets a Terrapagos EX.
Wait, are there, yeah, I mean, because there is no Terra in Destiny Rivals, right?
No.
Yeah.
Let's
print
an H block card, a G or H block card, and throw it in the kit.
Wait, what if they did, though? What if they did?
They could.
Non holo Terrapagos EX. Let's go.
Parker, which pre release promo are you hoping you pull?
Honestly, probably the Mimikyu, because they're going to give it some busted evolution line to go with this, since it's useless in the pre-release.
You're insane. There's no way that's a thing.
Nah, they're going to give you Rocket's V2 in that pre-release kit.
Yo, like honestly, maybe the kit with Mimikyu is just like a 3-3, like, Tarantula, like, of, like, the Team Rocket.
Spidops, yeah.
And that'd
probably
be kind of
will.
Broken, honestly, in pre-release.
No, it probably will.
It charges itself up, just hits, like, 90 every turn with 3 in play, like.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Probably will.
I, for one, am going for the Ethan's Typhlosion.
Yeah.
Because, one, I really enjoy Typhlosion. But also, my favorite thing about, like, sealed formats is, like, the different rule set. So, if I pull, like, if it gives me 4 copies of, like, Ethan, and I pull, like, 2 more, then I can,
play six
copies of Ethan's, what is it, Ethan's Adventure?
Yeah.
So, I can just play 6. And not that I'll need to, like, actually KO that many, but I can just, like, see it enough that I can, like, play it every turn and just, like, discard them. I remember, like, the pre-release kit that, like, Kofu came out. Again, same thing. I had, like, the order of, like, where you, like, attack for less.
Yeah.
But I had, like, 5 Kofus. So it'd be like, all right, turn 2, like, Ultra Ball away double Kofu, plus, like, play a Kofu. And, like,
you got Ultra Ball on turn 2, bro? They only gave you, like, 2.
You know me. I'm a sack, bro. Like that. Eric, which one are you going for?
Yeah, I mean, the Typhlosion is just dope. I mean, because, like, the pre-evolution lets you get them from the deck also. So, like, you don't have to see them every turn, but if you're playing 6 or 7 and you can also get them from the deck, kind of nuts. So, and yeah, I think the Typhlosion is going to be busted. But again, if everyone's playing Typhlosion, then maybe you want the Gyarados. You know, I don't know. Yeah. Maybe.
I really want the Gyarados to be good. Like, discarding 7 from your deck in a pre-release format.
That sounds terrible.
I mean, like, the kit has to come with, like, double, like, Miriam and, like, double Super Rod just to have a chance. Like,
Miriam.
I think, right?
Oh, God.
Well, Miriam's broken.
I know. It's good.
Bro, when I build this deck, I'm playing 4 Miriam. On God.
But you remember when people used to play Miriam? Because like it was like your only like.
Well, super no Zoroarks.
Yeah.
Man, I miss those days.
Yeah, I miss those days, bro. So Parker, give a little bit of advice to our listeners. If you're going to a pre-release this weekend, and you open a kit and you don't know what's going on, how do they build their deck?
So there's no real right 100% way to build it. The best thing, or the most important thing, is that you have fun. But if you want the best, most consistent deck ever, pull you EX that you pulled, 39 energies. Oh, I'm just kidding. What they give you in the kit is pretty good now. I remember when like I first started, you didn't get that. So like it was really, really like mumble jumbly, but they gave you good evolution lines in the kit. I always like say, unless you just like pulled two of the same EX or something, like use it as a baseline because like it is good. Like I remember, I think like pulled a ball, like the lock six were like 120 if you evolved them or something like that. I was like, man, this is really good actually. But there's no 100% correct way, but just do what makes you happy.
Maddox, when you're there at midnight at Nakamal on Friday, what's your strategy you're gonna employ?
Again, you gotta stick pretty close to the kit. I like to cook, you know, for my own, like for probably more trouble than it's worth. But if I can like squeeze in like a cool line of cards to pull, like I put like a 1/1 like Paldean like Clodsire EX last time, so I like just like slap that in. So I'd be like, I want to like take three prizes and just like evolve that. Like, what, you pulled that? I'm like, yeah, deal with it. So I mean, like, there's some like neat things to do. I think like the big thing with these formats is also remember like getting your energy attachments is very important, but also like resources are very limited. So like things like switching cards, you know, gusting options are like extremely limited. So like as opposed to like in our conventional play where you think like, oh, I have ways to like find my evolution. Like you don't always really have great ways to do that. It's like, oh, I can't power this up on the bench because my opponent can like gust KO. It's like, well, not necessarily. I'm like, mobility is tough. So I'm always thinking about that too. Like, can I like pivot between Pokemon? Is there a Pokemon with a useful attack that I can use early to like put energy into play or search Pokemon, things like that. Trying to find those like little things to use. But when in doubt, go with shout out our buddy Phil. You know, for the past several pre-releases, just been rolling up, just sleeving up the exact 40 card deck you get. Because I had messing with it and has gone, you know, 3-0, like, you know, the past, you know, 3 or 4 pre-releases. So shout out Phil. Can't go wrong with just playing the deck and playing it well.
Yeah, for me, my strategy usually is if you pull a supporter card, you're playing it. As long as it like vibes with your deck, like, okay. Like, so some of the cool supporters coming out are in the set, like Judge is getting a different art, still G-Block. But you can, you know.
Okay.
It's still G-Block, Yeah, okay. Still G-Block. And then, but MC's hype up, draw 2 cards. If your opponent has 3 or fewer prize cards remaining, draw 2 more cards, which in pre-release is like pretty good. So I think if you pull any MC's hype up, like definitely put that in your deck. And then if you have any Team Rockets that you're playing, if you're playing like a Team Rockets, like if you get Team Rockets Mimikyu or Tyranitar and you pull any Ariana, like you can draw until you have 8 in play if all of your Pokemon are like Team Rockets Pokemon. So those are some things to look out for. There's obviously some really cool Team Rockets like consistency cards. I wouldn't say put the Watchtower in your deck. It's not very good probably in pre-release because there's not a lot of colorless abilities.
There's gotta be something you shut off that makes it worth it, right?
Not in pre-release really. I mean, I'm looking at, you got the Porygon Z.
Not constitute.
You got the Stevens. No, that's about it. Yeah, that's the only thing that has an ability.
Dang.
Some cool trainer cards though. Again, if you pull a supporter, you need consistency. You need to play the game because it is best of 1, and you're playing an inconsistent format. So, just add that extra consistency in your deck. Target between 10 and 12 energy cards usually, unless you've got like 4 of the Team Rockets double energy, then you're probably fine.
Oh, real quick. Do y'all know what Team Rocket's Blip Bug does?
Is that the heal 30? Oh, no.
No, even better. Parker knows based on that face.
I don't.
So Team Rocket's Blip Bug. Again, I think we should all gentlemen that everyone should play this in the pre-release deck. It's for a single colorless energy, searching eye, look at one of your opponent's face down prize cards.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember.
Doesn't do anything else. Doesn't even have evolutions. But I think if I pull one, I will be playing it. Strictly so I can gain information about my opponent's playing and because I think it's funny.
Isn't it an ability?
No, it was an attack.
Oh god, it's so bad.
Wait, those early turns when I'm attached to my bench. Yo, turn one going second, open blip bug, lurk at the prize card. Oh, your EX is prized. You're not using that in this game.
Wait, do you need the energy? Oh.
Yeah, it needs an energy.
We're trying to power up the back row.
No, I pulled the Typhlosion on it. You need one.
I'm excited for what energy Recyclo will bring to the format, because it's getting a reprint. So I'm interested to see where that goes and what deck can use it better. Maybe the Misty's Gyarados deck. Yes, sir.
Maybe.
Kyogre's back, baby. All right, moving on to our last topic for the day. For this episode, we got four events this weekend. I think maybe one of these has a stream, the special event in Utrecht. I don't know about the other three, the Santiago Regionals, Melbourne Regionals, and the Master Ball League in Thailand. They'll probably have a stream. They usually try to have a stream for Master Balls. But yeah, so we got four events this weekend. I mean, the meta hasn't really changed a lot, but what's been kind of, you know, known in this meta is that Dragapult is like the best deck in format, basically. It's the big bad one, but it hasn't gotten its win in this format. Parker, you first. Do you think Dragapult will get its first win this weekend at any of these events, and why yes or why no?
I mean, it has a 1 in 4 chance, I guess. Like, I think it does. The deck's just too good. Too many people play it. Like, I think it gets a win this weekend for sure.
So you say that, and my first thought was, oh, it's going to win in Melbourne. There's plenty of Australians that, you know, will play Dragapult. But then you think, can it beat the Brixty? Can it beat the Brent Tonneson 60 of Gardevoir? And the answer is no. The Brixty dominates Dragapult. So while the Brixty exists, can Dragapult really win? I think it's going to get a win. And I think it's going to be in Santiago.
Okay. Tech card inclusions. Are we playing Candy? Are we playing Crispin? Are we respecting Raging Bolt in these sniping decks? What do you think?
I think Candy, yeah.
Playing a Candy? No Crispin?
I see most of the builds are shifting to, like, the Neo Upper
right
kind of thing. At least if you're playing, like, straight Dragapult. I like Crispin personally, but I also love missing energy attachments. So I don't know if it's sort of a crutch that I've succumbed to, or if it's like, I don't know, but I do typically include Crispin in my Dragapult decks.
All right, what about you? What tech conclusions this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, my favorite build of Dragapult right now is the Arvinless one, the one where you play four Iono, four Brox, four Boss, and play Neo Upper, and that's like your acceleration of the energy. Is that enough to like beat the Raging Bolts and Joltik boxes? I'm not really sure. I think like we might have to try to enter a little world where we're back to playing. Like, do we ever play Crystal again in Arvin's? Like, that feels so bad.
Yeah, I don't know,
but, like,
man.
But like, we might have to do something. I do think the easiest card to put it back in is EXP share. I do think,
yes,
you know, Dragapult should be playing EXP share for sure. I think you got to make a room for a Candy.
How do you find the Candy
right
though?
Now.
I mean,
you're playing Arvin's. Like, you're back to playing Arvin's.
You're playing
right?
Okay.
You got to play some Arvin's. I would maybe go to like an Andrew Hedrick 60 something closer to what he got second with in Atlanta.
Yeah.
We're playing the Dusknoirs. But you do have that one Candy as an option. I mean, like, it feels so bad to play like a Crystal or a Neo Upper, but you might need a little bit of something. I definitely think EXP share needs to come back. And maybe at the expense of like monkey stuff, which is again a tricky spot, but like I think you need to go a little bit faster. I think the format is like, you know, capitalizing on it being too slow right now. You have to have a little bit of a faster option, you know, just to be able to, you know, cover all your matchups.
We could just play Force Yieldstone, right?
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Force Yieldstone. I don't know. I think you're gonna put some candies in your deck. I don't know. Like I said, maybe it's the Arvin build with a couple of candies, and that's how you do it. Unfair stamp seems pretty good if you go the Arvin build. So, seems pretty good. Let's move on to the next question. We got a couple of rogue decks flying around. We got the Charizard just got top 32, and Roaring Moon, kind of like Ancient Box style deck, got top 32 as well. So the question is, which rogue deck will do better this weekend out of Roaring Moon or Charizard?
So funny hearing rogue deck next to Charizard. It's like when
I know, right?
Saying, like, oh, Regidrago is a rogue play this weekend. I think Charizard.
Yeah, the John Roberts like Charizard build that popped up out of Milwaukee, like very, very interesting list. Getting a lot of like attention for that. I'm not like totally convinced how great it works. I almost think that, and I think I am gonna go with Charizard instead of Roaring Moon, even though shout out Aiden Koos, 17th place. But also it did make a top 16 in Monterey. So like Roaring Moon has seen the better results. But I think with a lot of these like turbo decks coming up, the big basic decks, that does give a position for Charizard. I think maybe like a Dragapult Charizard is a little better positioned, but I could see a world where there's a Charizard player out there, maybe even a more conventional build. I don't know if the John Roberts one is going to stick, but you play a Charizard Pidgeot, something like that, you dodge Dragapult, but you are able to like capitalize on hitting some Guardies and like playing a Jamming Tower, plus dealing with the big basics deck. So I think of those, like which deck I think is more likely to make a deeper run, I'm actually going to go Charizard, despite it being almost unplayable right now because of Dragapult.
But give me Moon, man. Give me the Moon.
Ooh.
I like it. I mean, it's just Aiden Koos is going to, he's going over to Melbourne. It's going to be a little smaller tournament. He's going to beat up on all the Gardevoirs and dodge the Dragapult.
Is he actually going?
Yeah, he's
there.
I know
him and Brent are tight.
I think he's on the ground.
Oh, that's sick.
I think I saw that at least. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. The Moon deck just seems kind of interesting. It's picking up a lot of steam. So I think at one of the tournaments this weekend, it will have a better performance than Charizard.
I agree with that. At one of them, it will. I think that's the spike of the weekend will be the Charizard, though.
We'll see. We'll see who's right next week on the Peach Court podcast. All right. Next question I have is, what is the highest placing EV box this weekend? Do we think EV box is kind of in a good spot right now? Can it finish a best of three, even though it's Angelite in every turn? What do you think about EV box right now?
I mean,
Where is it gonna finish?
I know Ian Robb just finished my top four with it, right?
Yeah, I think top eight.
Yeah, like I know that. I don't know. I was playing it, and like, obviously I'm not as good as a player as Ian Robb, but
you're
like,
better. You're right.
Nah, but we played that deck a lot because Disney and I we really thought that was like the play for the tournament. But like it's just I don't know, it's just rough. Like we both tried it and it was just like it's harder to finagle around with than like you'd think. But I think it gets another strong showing, honestly. Probably top 16 is where I'll put it.
Top 16, okay. What about you, Max?
Like Flareon box, a deck I think underrated for a little while. I think in a good position. I think a cool pick. I'm going all the way to the top. I'm calling Flareon box will be in finals
at one
of the three tournaments.
Dude, that's crazy.
Actually, I'm changing mine to top eight. There are a lot of tournaments.
Yeah, I don't know though. I mean, the deck is good. Like, if you just hit, like, 8 gold angles, you're going to be fine. It just does not do well in a Gardevoir, man. If like, a Gardevoir hits the field, it's, like, over. You just, like, you have to find, when they attack, like, if you don't have end that single turn, you don't have Countercatcher, Iono, Angelite, the Gardevoir and the attacker back, like, you just lose. So you got to set up 2 Angelites. I don't know. I don't think you really beat Gardevoir. So I'm going to say, like, if there was like 1 or 2 tournaments, I would say like top 32. Because there's so many, I'll say top 16.
Yeah. That's what I was feeling. And like, yeah. I don't know. I think with the faster format, it gets worse too.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like if stuff is a turn faster, if like, Bolt, I mean, probably just
You beat Bolt. You just go single prize board plus Briar.
Oh, plus Briar. Yeah, that's fair. That was fair.
If y'all want to are looking for a stat, Flareon Noctowl versus Gardevoir at Milwaukee.
Yeah.
In day two.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Day two filter on. Oh, wait. This is how, actually, there's not a lot of data. So there's only five matches. There's only five. There's like, it was 2-2-1. So it's like very split matchup.
But, yeah, that's a low matchup.
But yeah, and all and the yeah the of the matchups, Flareon Noctowl 26 wins, 23 losses, 10 ties. So pretty even matchup technically.
Technically, yeah,
favorite it's even. For Flareon. Yeah. So.
Well, Gardevoir players probably drew like I did in Milwaukee.
Actually, yeah, the 3 losses were you, Parker.
Yeah, I mean, if you just keep angel lighting and attacking and angel lighting and attacking and that's working, then that's great. But if they get three rolls down and then they get a Gardevoir out, it's scary, man. That's so scary.
He's got to shoot my shot. See you, Flareon believers, in finals.
Yes, sir.
Flareon, rise up.
All right, last question for today.
Oh, yeah, my life sauce part of it.
We talked about underrated decks a little bit with Roaring Moon and Charizard, but what is the most underrated deck in format right now, and why is it Slowking?
Slowking is... We actually tested that a lot, too, for Milwaukee. But, I could say Slowking being pretty, like, slept on. I think Mamoswine is actually, like, I genuinely think that's a good deck.
Bro, why does our locals have like 80% Mamoswine every week?
I don't know. Well, you're living in the ice age.
You know how many I hit last week after countering Mamoswine?
None.
Zero.
I think there are only like three or four.
There was four.
Yeah, four.
So you're choosing Mamoswine. Okay, Mamoswine. Yeah, it's a pretty good deck. What about you, Maddox? What do you think the most underrated deck and format is?
Bro, okay.
Don't say like, Conkeldurr. Don't you dare.
No. I mean, you know I always got Conkeldurr ready to go. But, I mean, listen, I'm only going to say this because it fell off of the top 8 on Justin Basil's meta chart. But Goldango has fallen off the top 8 meta decks for Justin Basil's Goldango. Can I call the second most played deck an underrated deck? I don't know if I can. I think, like, is the fact that it's being, like, disrespected right now, like, absolutely mind-blowing? Yes. Like, the deck is good. I don't even know if you all allow me to call that my underrated deck. But like,
that's fine. Well.
I play the deck. It's good. People aren't talking about it. It's just a good deck.
It is a good deck. You draw cards. Coin Bingus. Yeah, for me, I am going to say Frostlass Monkey Dory. Because we left it off of our sheet last week on our tier list, and I felt really bad because it is a really good deck. So if we didn't include it in our tier list, that means that like that's kind of like showing how underrated it is right now. And the right format, you know, the right matchup spread. Again, I think Gardevoir is a little questionable for it. All these kind of like fringe decks, like Gardevoir is like the one deck to kind of keep him at bay a little bit, right? Gardevoir is that one deck that's just... Screamtail, Kriflin. Right? Like,
well, yeah. So, I think the power of that Monkey Dory, like Frostless Monkey Dory, is just like you're item locking from turn one.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, like they get one turn of items and that's it. Played correctly. So like, I think there's a world where if you can get your board set up a little faster than Gardevoir can, and you can, you know, maybe lock it to a spot where you're just locking them out of rolls with monkey damage. So, but other than that, if they can, you know, get board set up and get the monkeys in play, they start countering your monkeys with their monkeys and things get real funky real fast.
Yeah.
Real monkey fast. Oh,
we played that matchup a fair bit too. Yeah. And you basically are playing the same deck at some points, but like if you happen to like draw in a Gardevoir early and you just scream tail their monkeys while you have monkeys, like you just kind of win.
Yeah, you can't really beat that.
Yeah. All right, well, that's going to do it for our predictions this week. Good luck to everyone competing in all the regionals across the globe this weekend, all the major events. Lock up that final CP. Get it done. That's going to do it for this week's episode of the Beach Court Podcast. We'll be back next week to recap all the regionals and bring you all the Pokemon news and notes. But till next time, that's going to do it.
See ya.